Thank you, Lord. Today I'm going to be speaking about the Torah Parsha today, which is known as Noach or Noah. Now Noah, that name means rest. And I believe that God wants each one of us to learn how to rest in Him. I mean, we try to do things by our own strength all the time, don't we? We think that we can do it. We don't need help from anybody. But the truth is, and the fact is that we need the Lord. We need Him. We are dependent on Him. Those who are unbelievers say that we who are believers use the Lord as a crutch. And I say yes. He is my crutch. He's the one that holds me up when I can't hold myself up anymore. He's the one who helps me when I'm too weak to go on. He's the one who heals me when I'm sick and I need a touch from Him. Yes, I depend on Him. Yes, I need Him. Yes, He's my crutch. And I'm proud to say, hallelujah, and I find my rest in Him. And that's what Noah, it means rest. You know, there's some lessons that we can learn, all of us, from Noah's Ark. And I want to list 11 things that we can all learn from Noah's Ark. Number one, don't miss the boat. Very important. You'll be left behind. Number two, remember that we are all in the same boat. All of us. Third, plan ahead. You know, it wasn't raining when Noah built the ark. So you got to plan ahead for the rain. Number four, we need to stay fit. Let me see your muscles, everyone. Show me your muscles. Come on. Show me your muscles. Okay, you got to stay fit. You know why? Because when you're 600 years old, someone might ask you to do something really big. And God called Noah when he was 600 years old, so you need to stay fit. Number five, don't listen to the critics. Just get on with the job that needs to be done. I'm sure everyone was criticizing Noah. Now, what are you doing, Noah? What are you doing building this? Number six, build your future on high ground. Now that's important here in Florida especially. Build your future on high ground. You never know when it's going to rain. Number seven, this is important. For safety's sake, travel in pairs. You've heard your mom or your dad say, make sure you go with a friend. Don't go there by yourself. Travel in pairs. Number eight, speed is not everything. The snails were on board with the cheetahs. Oh, I got one laugh out of that one. Okay. Number nine, when you're stressed, float a while. About number 10, I like this one. Remember, the ark was built by amateurs. Wait. But the Titanic was built by professionals. And we know what happened to the Titanic, right? What happened to Noah's Ark? It floated, didn't it? 11, the last one here. No matter the storm, when you're with God, there's always a rainbow waiting. And that's what we need to remember always. There's always a rainbow with God. So this Torah parasha for this week is called Noach, and it deals mainly with the life of Noah. And in Genesis chapter 6, verses 8 through 9, it lists four characteristics of Noah. And this is what it says about him in chapter 6, verse 8 and 9. But Noah found favor, that's one, in the eyes of Adonai, the Lord. Noah was a righteous man, that's number two. Number three, he was blameless among the people of his time. And fourthly, he walked with Elohim. He walked with God. So he found favor, he was righteous, he was blameless, and he walked with God. Now the Hebrew word for favor is chen. Can you say chen? Everyone clear your throat, say chen. Very good. Great. And it implies not only favor, but also grace and charm. It implies that Noah was pleasing and likable to Adonai. In fact, the Lord liked him. He was a likable guy. In contrast to all the rest of the world, because the world was evil at that time, but God liked him, found favor in him. Noah's godly life was a powerful contrast to all the wicked lives of the rest of all mankind. One man out of all these countless multitudes then on earth was fit to receive God's gift of grace or favor, his chen. Just one man out of all of creation. And what we see here is God's love and mercy in action. He was extending grace to Noah. It signified that there was a new life, there was a new hope for mankind in the days ahead. And there's a new hope for you as well. If you put your faith and your trust in Yeshua, you have new life. L'chaim be'Yeshua, there is life in Yeshua. You have hope in Yeshua. You have hope in Jesus. God found in Noah something that was pleasing, something that was agreeable. Now in verse 9 of Genesis 6, it describes three characteristics of a godly life. It says, number one, that Noah was righteous, he was blameless, and he walked with God. In other words, Noah loved justice and he walked in purity and holiness before God. Now that word righteous in Hebrew is tzaddik. Have you ever heard that word tzaddik? It means someone who's right, someone who's just, someone who is God-fearing, and it describes Noah's character as it manifested itself in relation to other human beings. There was a straightness, an uprightness that was evident in his behavior. And his conduct revealed a moral and ethical righteousness that stood out from all the world. And among the Jewish people, a tzaddik was considered a great spiritual man. If you were called a tzaddik, people looked up to you. You were wise. You were a spiritual man. You were a tzaddik. And according to the great rabbi Maimonides, he said, one whose merit surpasses his iniquity is a tzaddik. So if your merit, the things that you do that are righteous before God, if that exceeds the things that are that you do that are full of iniquity in your life, then you're a tzaddik. In other words, if your good surpasses your bad, you're a tzaddik. But not many men are tzaddiks, because it's very hard for our righteousness to surpass our iniquity, because we are all sinners. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and we need the Lord in our lives. Remember what Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, said, the things I want to do, those are the things I don't do, and the things that I don't want to do, those are the things I do. Oh, what a wretched man am I. Who in here is wretched? Raise your hand if you're wretched. Come on. Tell the truth now. Tell the truth. We are all really wretched. It's only through God's mercy and His grace that we can stand here today. Yes, He's forgiven us of our sins, but we're not perfect by far. We won't get perfect. I mean, one day we'll get a glorified body. We'll be in the presence of the Lord. But until then, we continue to sin every day. Every day. I mean, even if you have an ungodly thought or impure thought, or you say some gossip, or every day we do things that show that we are people full of iniquity, that we need the Lord in our lives. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, the word blameless in Hebrew, or perfect, is tamim. That word tamim, it describes the perfect product of a wise master builder. The product is faultless, uncorrupted, flawless, and complete. It lacks nothing. And that word tamim also speaks of integrity, innocence, and naiveness. There is nothing here in Noah's outward activities or an internal disposition that is odious or detestable to God. God finds in Noah something special. Noah is innocent before God like a little child is innocent. Now that statement that he walked with Elohim or he walked with God opens another area of thought to us. Now in walking with God, Noah had displayed a spirit, an attitude, a character that made him accepted and approved for the most intimate spiritual relationship with God. And that's something that we should all desire, an intimate spiritual relationship with God. It's something I strive for all the time. I keep trying to. I try to spend more time with the Lord, but I fail. I mean, things come up all the time. No, there's times when we're going to spend time with the Lord from this time to this time. Then we get a call or something comes up and we don't end up spending time with the Lord. We make excuses. We have reasons why we don't spend time with the Lord. But we need to get intimate with God. Close, a loving relationship. It's almost like in Genesis where it talks about where a man and woman will become one, Basar Echad, one flesh. We have to learn how to get intimate with God, that we have the mind of God, the thoughts of God, the hearts of God, or the heart of God. I mean, we're not going to be able to perfectly do that, but at least to live a life that is pleasing to God. Thank you, Lord. In walking with God, Noah had displayed a spirit and an attitude, a character that made him accepted and approved, again, for that intimate relationship. He manifested qualities of the soul that endeared him to Adonai. He knew Adonai's voice. He knew the Lord's voice as a sheep knows the voice of his shepherd. And Noah followed God's leading. Before I go on, did anyone see that terrible movie, Noah, that came out this last year or something? It was a horrible movie. Had rock monsters in it, and it had people who snuck onto the ark that the Bible doesn't talk about. And I mean, it had all sorts of crazy things. Just because something looks like it's biblical and it looks like it's spiritual doesn't mean that it is. It's like Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Got to be careful what you watch, what you pay attention to. Now these characteristics, these three characteristics of Noah, they don't imply that he was sinless, that he was perfect. They infer, though, an inward and outward desire and an effort for him to live for God. He desired that. And that's all that the Lord asks from any of us here, that we do our best to live for him. We try in every area of our life. We're going to fail, but we try. We desire to have that relationship with him. Not perfection, but effort and desire, remembering that I can do all things through the Messiah who gives me strength. It's his strength that's going to give us victory. But today I want to look at a fifth area now, dealing with Noah's life. It's an area that's not outrightly mentioned here in the Scripture, but it's implied from the text. And that area is patience. Or waiting upon the Lord. Well, let me tell you, this guy was patient. Noah was a patient man. According to Genesis chapter 5 and verse 32, it says here, after Noah was 500 years old, he became the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. 500 years old. He must have been quite a guy, huh? Now, using accepted biblical timelines, this was approximately in the year 2385 BCE. You remember it, Donnie, right? Donnie, he was there. In fact, Donnie just had his birthday. Was it Wednesday? A Thursday. Thursday. He's 110? I don't know. He doesn't look over 150 to me. Now, it's believed that 50 years later, when Noah was now 550 years old, in the year 2335, God told Noah to build an ark. At 550 years old, God told him to build an ark. Now, I turned 60 this year, and I can tell you what, I can feel it. I can feel it, all right? Can you imagine being 550 years old and God tells you, calls you to do something big? Later on, we read in Genesis chapter 7, verse 6, now it says Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters came on the earth. From the time God told Noah about the impending disaster, when God told Noah about this flood, and the need now to construct or to build this ark, to the start of the flood waters, there was a period of 50 years. I guess it took Noah about 50 years to build this ark. Can you imagine? It's pretty big to fit all those animals. Of course, you know, we had the snails in it, like I said, and you had the elephants, and you had all different variety, but nevertheless, building a big ark, and you know, it had different floors, different levels on it, and it took quite a while. I mean, you had to cut the wood. You had to, you know, saw, and you had to shave the wood, and you had to do all those nautical things, right? I don't know all that nautical stuff, but you had to do all that stuff. This shows an incredible amount of patience, doesn't it? And trust on Noah's part during this 50-year period of time. 50 years building this ark. Besides building an ark to carry all the animals and his family, Noah also must have occupied himself with preaching to the people of the earth repentance. Now, how do we know that? Because it says in the New Covenant, in the Brit Chadashah, in 2 Peter 2:5, it says in 2 Peter 2:5 that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. That's what it says. But, you know, I'm also sure that Noah was mocked by the people. He was ridiculed. He was physically verbally abused by the people all around him. But Noah trusted Adonai. He trusted in the Lord, and he waited patiently. Thank you, Lord. Now, for those of us who are husbands, we can only imagine how much Noah's wife nagged him for those 50 years. Can you imagine that? Noah, what are you doing, Noah? What do you mean an ark, Noah? Well, you're crazy. 50 years. Don't tell Irene I said that, okay? Nobody turn me into my wife, okay? Uh-oh. Hey, strike that out, please. Noah, what are you doing building this boat? What do you mean, Noah, it's going to rain? It's never rained before, Noah. Are you crazy? Oh, by the way, Noah, what's rain? You know, they had never seen rain before. Until that time, it had never rained upon the earth. Wow. However, she probably was someone that was very pleasant, actually. I'm sure. And Jewish tradition says that her name was Na'amah. And what does that word Na'amah mean? It's translated as pleasant in Hebrew. So she was obviously a pleasant woman, you know, especially to put up 50 years with Noah building this ark. Now, at times, Noah must have doubted the Lord, like we all doubt the Lord. The Lord tells us to do something, or we're doing something we believe is the Lord's business, and we begin to doubt sometimes. Can you imagine Noah saying, Lord, I've been building this ark now for 50 years. 50 years. That's a long time. You heard her. It's a long time. And people have, Lord, people have ridiculed me. People have mocked me this whole time. Yet, Lord, in obedience, I preach repentance to the people of the earth. Is this flood now? Lord, is this flood really going to happen? I'm crazy to have believed this. What's going on? Imagine people laughing. People were laughing when he began to gather in all these animals into the ark. What is he doing, that crazy old weird guy? All these animals into the ark. What is he doing? Yet Noah in patience was faithful to Adonai. He was faithful to the Lord. You know, there's an interesting note in that this great flood epic is told in the legends of many different nationalities and peoples and religions around the whole world. Seems like so many different nationalities have their own rendition, their own story about a great flood. So it's obvious that there's some essential truth to all of this. Amazingly, the Chinese symbol for a ship has a boat. It has the character in Chinese for eight, and it has the character for mouth or persons as part of that. So what do we have here, that Chinese symbol for boat? It shows a boat with eight persons. That's the symbol for a boat in Chinese. And eight is the exact number of people that were on Noah's ark. Seems more than a coincidence. In Genesis chapter 7, verse 17, it says, "Then Adonai, the Lord, shut him in." Now, at this point, maybe Noah's faith was beginning to increase. Well, something's happening now. Okay, I got all the animals in here. The door is closed by itself. The Lord shut the door, closed them in there. But Genesis 7:10 says that Noah and his family waited 7 days for the flood waters to come. Now, how ridiculous Noah must have felt here. And he thought, well, Lord, I spent 50 years now building this ark. I've gathered in all these animals, and you can imagine the interesting aromas involved with all these animals in there. Lord, I spent 50 years building this ark. I've gathered all these animals like you told me to do. Now we're all shut in. We're locked into this ark. Nothing's happening. Day one. Nothing's happening. Day two, nothing. Day three, nothing. Day four, he's pulling his hair out. Of course, you know, Noah probably didn't have much hair. He's probably pulling out whatever little strands he has left. Fifth day, nothing. Boy, he's sweating it out. Boy, he's sweating. His wife is probably really giving it to him good here. Day six, nothing. And day seven. 7 days Noah waited and wondered when this thing called rain, which they had never seen before, was going to happen. I'm sure doubts continued to fill his head. Yet Noah waited patiently upon the Lord. I think this is teaching us all a lesson in patience and to rest in the Lord. Now, after the floodwaters finally came, the scripture says it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. Now again, Noah must have felt, and he thought to himself, "Oy vey, oy vey, when will this water ever stop?" Yet Noah waited patiently for 40 days for that rain to stop. Noah exhibited a tremendous patience as he waited upon the Lord. Now, after the flood waters ceased, it stopped. Noah waited another 150 days, 150 days for the water to begin to subside. In other words, for the waters to begin to lower and get down. 150 days waiting after it stopped raining for the waters to subside, while the ark just wandered here and there and everywhere, without him knowing where they were going to end up. Then it says that he waited another 47 days for the ark to then rest on Mount Ararat, which is in modern-day Turkey. Interestingly, you know, Turkey used to be one of Israel's closest friends in the Middle East, and the Ottoman Empire had always been very friendly to the Jewish people. Not until all these latest events in the last few years with the flotilla that was sent to break the Israeli blockade about bringing in weapons and all that. And so they got into it, Israel and Turkey, and so they haven't been the best of friends. In fact, they're enemies once again. However, further exhibiting patience here, Noah waited yet another 40 days. 40 days after the ark landed on Mount Ararat. Remember, it's at the top. He waited another 40 days before he opened a window. And again, can you imagine all those animals for all that time, the windows closed? Oh, that man has some patience. Woo. Waited another 40 days before he opened a window, and he let out a raven daily, and he let out a dove every 7 days. It says in Genesis chapter 8, verse 13, by the first day of the first month of Noah's 601st year, the water had dried up upon the earth. Then it goes on to say, by the 27th day of the second month, the earth was completely dry. In all, I went through this whole calculation here. In all, it was 1 year and 10 days from the time that Noah entered the ark until he left the ark. 1 year and 10 days in that ark with all the animals. Now, what does this mean for us as believers in the Messiah, Yeshua? I believe that Adonai's plan, the Lord's plan for our lives, are going to be accomplished, or will be accomplished, in His timing, in God's timing, and in God's way. There's nothing that we can do to change things one way or another, because God is the one in control, leading and guiding all the circumstances and all the situations. But while we wait upon the Lord for His answers, for His deliverance, for His healing, whatever it may be in our life that we are waiting for, we need to be praying. We need to be fasting. We need to be reading the Scriptures. And we need to be walking with Elohim, walking with God as Noah did. I remember in February when my back went out totally. I have a bunch of lumbar discs that are really bad and cervical discs that are bad. I couldn't walk at all. I was in bed for weeks. And I ended up pretty much on and off for a few months in bed. I was crying before the Lord. Lord, what's going on? Lord, why is this happening? Lord, show me what I did wrong. Show me where I sinned, O Lord. I cried before the Lord. But I was praying and I was praying, Lord, please, Lord, please. Please, Lord, heal me. Whatever I did, forgive me, Lord. Whatever brought me to this condition, Lord. Whatever it may be, Lord, forgive me. Raise me up from this bed of iniquity, O God. And I was in the Scriptures. I was reading the Scriptures, listening to the Scriptures, crying, reading, praying, crying. I couldn't even sit up to eat. I had to lay on my side and Irene would spoon feed me because I couldn't hold myself up. I don't want to tell you about all the other fun things involved in all of that. It was terrible. And when I was able to shower. I had to do it in under 30 seconds. That's as long as I could stand up, 30 seconds. Reminded me when I was in the military. They didn't give us much time to shower. It was, you know, in and out really quick. So while we wait upon the Lord, as we're going through different trials and tribulations in our lives, we need to be spending that time praying and fasting and reading the scriptures and walking with Him as best as we can. But you know, we have even a greater advantage than Noah had. We have the sword of the Spirit. We have here the Word of God to teach us and to admonish us, to show us how to live, the things that we should do, the things we shouldn't do. We have God's Word to lead us and guide us and direct us. And we have the Ruach HaKodesh, we have the Holy Spirit indwelling within us to lead us and guide us and to direct us. Turn with me to Matthew 24, starting at verse 36. Matthew 24, verse 36. Yeshua said in Matthew 24, starting at verse 36, "No one knows about that day or that hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son of Man, but only the Father." Then Yeshua says, "As it was in the days of Noah, in the days of Noah, so it's going to be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating, people were drinking, they were getting married, being given in marriage, up to the very day that Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away." Now this is how it's going to be at the coming of the Son of Man. Yeshua said that two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. He said that two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. Then Messiah Yeshua said, and this is to each one of us here, "Therefore keep watch, because you don't know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So also," and he's speaking to you and you and you, all of you, speaking to me, "so also we must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect Him." You know, every day that we live, it seems like we're getting closer to that day of Messiah's return. When we see all the wickedness around us today, when we see what's been going on in this election season, I've never seen such disgusting things going on. How two people can do their best to try to destroy the others by words and deeds, the cutthroat things, the lies, the conspiracies, the bitterness, the hatred, all these things. And you think, what is this world coming to? What is this world coming to? This world is just so evil. And then people say, "Well, then who do I vote for? Who? I don't like this one because they're like this, and I don't like that one because they're like this." The election is Tuesday. Who's voted already? Who hasn't voted yet? Well, we all have a choice that we have to make. And when we make a choice, it has to be based on this right here, God's Word. God believes in the right of life, the right of an unborn child to be born, to live, to grow, to have a life. The Lord is for the family, marriage. He's for one woman and one man, not two men together, not two women together. That's what the scripture tells us. We know what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. The Lord desires all the nations to be supportive of Israel. That we as a people should support the nation of Israel. All the freedoms that we have as this country, as this nation, God desires us to live in freedom. Now, why do I say that? Because when we make a decision, those who have not yet voted, there's only one person who stands for the right of life, only one who stands for marriage and the family. There's only one who stands really behind Israel. There's only one, if you believe in the Second Amendment and other amendments, those rights, there's only one who I believe will stand for it. And may the best man win. Okay? Thank you, Lord. In conclusion, we read from Titus 2:11 through 14. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. While we wait, again, that's that what we're talking about, Noah, his patience. While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Yeshua the Messiah, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Father God, in the name of Yeshua, we thank you for your word this morning. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to learn patience, O God, that we would wait upon you, that we would not go forth in our own strength, in our own abilities, in our own knowledge, but we would wait upon you, desiring you, Lord, to infill us, to strengthen us, to heal us, to bless us, O Lord.